Now, I would like to give a floor to the experts, and I would like to ask them about more specific things. I would like to ask my colleague from Ukraine to elaborate more on what Ukraine can gain from the agreement, and to my Polish colleague, what Poland can gain from this agreement. And then to Professor Alan Mayhew, what EU can gain from this agreement. And I would like also to ask you about put things in the context of Russian context as well, because we know that Ukraine is under strong pressure from the side of Russia to sign the custom union agreement, which is opposite to the European agreements, association agreement. And if Ukraine decides to sign the agreement with Russia, it means that all these negotiations is going to the wastebasket, what I believe it's not be the case. So now I would like to give a floor to Veronika. Please take your floor.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to talk today here. And actually, thank you, Philip, for advertising my paper. And actually, it exactly answers the last question, that is to compare DCFTA and the custom union, Russian, Belarus, Kazakhstan custom union as a regional integration option for Ukraine. Regretfully, in 5 minutes, I will not be able to explain all details, so I will be happy to give more details later or can give you the paper. But briefly, the situation can be explained as follows. Ukraine is an open, small open economy, and it really depends on trade. Altogether, the ratio of exports plus imports of goods and services over GDP is over 100%. Ukraine needs both exports because it produces some goods not only for domestic consumption, it really depends on international markets in metals, in chemical products, in agriculture, in machinery. But also it needs imports. It needs imports of mineral products. It needs imports of machinery, of technologies. And it needs trade with all its partners. Ukraine, if we consider its structure of its trade, geographic structure, it trades quite intensively with its two large neighbors, EU on the one hand, and now we call it custom union, Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan on the other. Together, these two partners have about two-thirds of Ukrainian trade in goods. But the structure of trade is quite different. If we talk in very simplistic terms, from east to the west, the flow of goods goes as unprocessed or semi-processed goods, mineral products, some intermediary products from Russia to Ukraine and from Ukraine to the European Union. If we look on trade from west to the east, the technology goes, because a major part of trade of Ukraine is EU, is machinery, equipment, or its chemical, pharmaceutical products. So this is a high value-added products, the finished products. And also in trade with Ukraine, with Russia, Ukraine exports more machinery to Russia than it goes to the European Union. It's partially a legacy of the Soviet Union, for example, railway equipment. But it's also some demand for Ukrainian machinery in Russia other than Soviet legacy period. But Ukraine, to have an intensive trade with all both its large partners and relying on both of them, because we cannot survive without energy, in at least in the short term period of time, or in the medium term, without Russian energy, Ukraine has disparate in trade regime between these two partners. With Soviet Union, former Soviet Union countries, yes, we had free trade. Not so full-fledged, not so fancy, not so regulated approximation, but the majority of products, we have free trade there, zero duties at least. And we still had some common understanding of standards, not all of them, but sometimes. We are now, the converge was same, and now we diverge a bit. But in truth, is EU, Ukraine had much less preferential trade regime. The under the Partnership and Cooperation Agreement, Ukraine has the most favored nation tariff rate, plus it has GSP preferences, but not as deep as, for example, its partners with Eastern Partnership, other countries, except Belarus. Belarus is a separate case, but all other partners have better access. And because Ukraine has specific trade structure, it has also faces more non-zero tariffs than a lot of other countries, for example, at least in EAP group. So, and EU is not only the neighbor, not only very attractive market, it's actually now the largest market in the world. It's not only the largest regional market, but by per GDP and in PPP terms, EU is now the largest market. And naturally, Ukraine needs better access to this market in order to develop its trade. And if we compare these two cases, the DCFTA negotiations, which are actually concluded, almost concluded, leaving apart some technical details, this provides Ukraine with needed access to the EU market. And the estimates we did as computable general equilibrium model show that Ukraine will definitely gain and gain not on much more from DC component, that is regulatory component, than simple elimination of duties. The gains in medium term can reach about 4% of welfare and in long term about 11 percentage of welfare increase for households. More importantly, in simple terms, not in economics, Ukraine will gain from EU definitely better access to the EU market, increased welfare due to new opportunities, better efficient allocation of resources. It will gain better access to the third country's markets because adoption of EU standards make the situation familiar for other parties as well and will bear better access to these markets. Plus, Ukraine will gain in better, in hopefully, business and investment climate, also thanks to, first of all, regulatory convergence. And Ukraine will definitely pay for that. The cost will include some administrative adjustments, but Ukraine will have the also technical assistance from EU that can support these regulatory adjustments. Ukraine will have to pay costs of higher standards because they are more stringent, but it will open other third markets and the EU market. And Ukraine will definitely pay with higher competition, but it can be painful, but it's for better, at least in the medium term and in long term, because it will make economy healthier, more competitive, and it will also benefit consumers in the society. What can offer the custom union? Regretfully, not so much, except for energy, but it's very questionable where really custom union in Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan can offer, plausibly offer higher, cheaper energy, because energy is rare resource, and the prices are going up. And Ukraine is a very energy inefficient country, and the improvement of energy efficiency and diversification will definitely bring gains that is would be more valuable than short-term reduction in prices. All my paper shows that, not only my, it's collaborate work shows that the Ukraine has to follow EU path. It's definitely beneficiary, and Ukraine has to go for FTA regional integration at this stage. The membership in the custom union deprives it from free choice of trade policy, free choice of trade negotiation issues, and it's also bad for the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Veronika. I would like to ask the additional question. What Russian Federation will lose if Ukraine signs the agreement? And I would like also to ask these questions also to other panelists, because I think that it's also an important question. But very shortly, please.
Sure. Very shortly, in economic terms, mostly nothing. In political terms, probably a lot, but I'm not a politician.
Thanks a lot. It was very political, as a matter of fact, very diplomatic.